Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning will be read in the body of the sermon later on. In Christ Jesus, who has all power, glory, majesty, and honor, and whose name we praise from one generation to the next, dear fellow redeemed. The psalmist David reminds us in Psalm 27 that as Christians, our desire is to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our lives, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple, and to offer up sacrifices of joy and praises to our Lord. This thought of offering sacrifices of joy or thanksgiving and praise to God is also seen in our sermon text this morning, David's praise to the Lord God for all of his blessings to the children of Israel. Our sermon, therefore, is very fitting as we begin this month of November and look forward to the Thanksgiving celebration in a couple weeks. But it's also fitting because the entire life of us Christians should be one of thanksgiving and praise to God for all of his gifts, all of his blessings that he's given to us. So we want to make the month of November a month of praise and a month of thanks. Our theme for our text this morning is the first words of the familiar hymn we just finished singing. Now thank we all our God. We need to set the background to this morning's sermon text to help us understand this song of praise that David sang. In 1 Chronicles 29, it details King David's publicly handing over his rule to his son Solomon. Solomon's calling was to be the next king, and his greatest work was to build that magnificent, that marvelous temple to the Lord. King David dearly wanted to be the builder. He had prayed to God to give him the ability to do that. But God came to him and said, nope, you're a man of war. You conquered the nations. You gave us peace. Your son will be the one who will build my temple. But I will build for you a house, not a physical house, but a spiritual house, in which your descendant, the Savior, will rule in the hearts of his children forever and ever. David accepted that as God's will and spent the rest of his life preparing for his son to take over and do that building. In chapter 29, David sets up this fund drive. He calls all the leaders of the people and he says, I'll begin this fund drive by giving my entire estate to my son to use to build the temple. And David donated what today is estimated at $40 million. Then he said to the people, the leaders of the people, who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? In other words, who's going to follow? Who's going to follow in their free will offering, in their self-sacrificing to help build the temple to the Lord? And the Spirit of the Lord moved the hearts of the leaders of the people to respond with millions and millions of dollars on their own, pledged to build the temple. And David was amazed. His heart poured out with a song of praise and thanksgiving to God for moving the hearts of his people to such an extent. And so we read our text, our sermon text for this morning from 1 Corinthians 29, verses 10 to 13. Therefore, David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. David offered praise to God as the true possessor of all things. It's all God's things. And so David says, there is no greatness except that which comes from God. There is no power except that which God gives to us. And there are three important truths that are seen in this song of praise. David says, in love, he, God, made us. In love, he, God, saved us. In love, he, God, rules us. The first words of this hymn of praise acknowledges that all power comes from God, that man is utterly dependent upon God for every good thing. That phrase, blessed are you, Lord, literally reads, be adored and blessed on bended knee, Lord. So here's a powerful king of Israel, David, bowing down on bended knee, honoring God as his king, as his Lord, as his father and creator. In these words, David is acknowledging that God is a God of love who gave him his kingdom simply because of his grace, his undeserved love. David didn't deserve it. God showed his grace to David and also was fulfilling his promises to his ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We also see from these words that God is an eternal God, everlasting to everlasting. Therefore, all of his promises in the Messiah are firm and they're forever. In Christ, he forgives all of our yesterdays. In Christ, he keeps us safe in the present moment of today. And in Christ, he promises us eternal security and safety of all of our tomorrows on into eternity. David continues, yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. God called everything in heaven and in this earth into existence simply with his powerful word in 6 days. Everything belongs to God. God controls it all. God rules it all. And God gives it to us. God is a God of glory as well as a God of grace. All glory, power, honor, majesty, greatness are his. Because of his creation. He created it. He owns it. But in this creation of his one desire is the redemption and the salvation of all people. His kingdom is not Israel. His kingdom is not a plot of land somewhere there in the Middle East. His kingdom is in the hearts and lives of every single child of God that is ruled in there by the Holy Spirit as a believer in Christ. And that's what we're asking for when we pray in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come. We're asking for Jesus to come into our hearts, to rule in our hearts with his grace, with his powerful word of forgiveness and love, to rule as Lord and King in each of our hearts, that our thoughts, our actions, our words are controlled by the Spirit rather than by our flesh. David knew that all that he had done, all that he had accomplished in his 40 years as king were due because his king, the Messiah, ruled and lived in his heart. And so now he's humbly saying to the Lord, it's not my kingdom. It's not my throne. It's not my people. Not my glory, not my goals, not my purposes, not my plans. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the honor. All of it is yours. Can we pray that way? Can we say to God, all that I have, my body, my life, my goods, everything, Lord, is yours. All glory be to you. Every one of us wants fulfillment in our life, a purpose, a meaning to our lives. But so very often, selfishly, we look for that fulfillment and that purpose by self-praise or self-indulgence, accumulating things of this earth, looking for the creature comforts of this world, rather than seeing our fulfillment and our purpose and our meaning to life by the grace and the comfort that God gives us in Christ, and by our praising God and giving him thanks. Only when the Spirit brings us into Christ's kingdom through faith in Jesus can we really have that righteous, saving purpose of knowing that we are part of something far grander and far bigger than we could ever, ever imagine. We're called to be his ambassadors. We're called to be soldiers for Christ. We're called to be his children, his people, in his kingdom. And God puts us here for two reasons: to serve him and to serve others. That's the purpose. That's the foundation. That's the meaning to our lives. To bring the gospel message to other people and tell them that Jesus loves them too. And to proclaim that good news of salvation to all people. That is what David is expressing here in this hymn of praise. He's saying that his throne was not his, it was God's. His glory was not his, but God's. His life was not even his, but God's. David concludes this introduction of his hymn of praise, which goes on for seven verses, by reflecting on the way God deals with humankind. We read, "Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name." Two important truths are set forth in these little verses here. First of all, in ascribing to God all glory and power and greatness, mankind is stripped of every false claim of honor or self-praise or skill or talent, and affirming that it's God who makes one great and it's God who gives strength to human beings, David is praising the glory of God's name and not man's. How different that is in the world back then and today. We think of all the symbols of power and prestige that people have claimed for themselves over the centuries. Just look in the Old Testament and think of one of the most powerful leaders in the Old Testament, Pharaoh, king of Egypt. What did he say? "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go." And God showed him who he was. 10 disastrous plagues upon Egypt. Then there was Nebuchadnezzar. He said, as he looked out his kingdom, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" Over and over again we see arrogant mankind robbing from God the glory and honor and praise due him and giving it to themselves. Do we sometimes do the same thing? Rulers, dictators, monarchs, presidents engrave their great accomplishments, their great successes on monuments of stone, in pyramids, in great libraries, so generations to come can read about all that they have accomplished. But David, in direct contradiction to that sinful self-pride, writes, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all." All of our getting, all of our accumulating, all of our spending is absolutely useless if we don't understand that. You know, humans, the best humans achieve is a flower's glory. What's a flower's glory? It's glorious and splendorous now, but in a few days, at best in a week or two, fades and blows away. If we rely upon all that we've accomplished and all that we've done, it's going to be blown away by the Lord's breath. Isaiah tells us that in Isaiah 40. The voice said, "Cry out." And he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Yet when God enlightens the heart, so a person is a child of God through the Spirit, people find themselves able to accomplish and do things that were beyond their imagining. The Apostle Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." When the Spirit quickens the heart with a living faith, then believers will be able to give freely, willingly, generously, which is beyond David's wildest dreams. When the Spirit fills the heart of the individual child of God, we can do wonders. David saw that power of God. He saw it in the leaders of his people. He saw the joy and the happiness of the people, serving the Lord and praising God for giving them the opportunity and the ability to serve him and be part of something that is far greater than they could ever imagine. And that's why David, in the verse after our sermon text ends, says, "But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you." For David, the phrase, "We give thee but thine own," was not just some trite phrase to say. It was a way of life. David knew that his whole life, the record of all of his accomplishments, were done only because the Spirit of God and the Messiah dwelt and ruled in his heart. By God's great mercy and his grace, he was chosen as this little lowly shepherd boy to be king over all of Israel. And even greater than that, he was called to be the founder of an eternal dynasty, one over which the Messiah, the Savior, would rule forever and ever. Who am I? Who are you? Who is David and his people? Only sinners. Only sinners who are amazed at God's grace in Christ Jesus. That Jesus, who was, although he was rich and owned all things, yet for us made himself poor and came into this world to take our place, to live a perfect life of obedient love for each of us, to die upon the cross as our sacrifice, to rise from the dead to assure us of an everlasting life in heaven forever. Both David and we have good reason to thank God. Good reason to praise his name, his glorious saving name, both now and forever. Let us rise and join in praying verses 1 through 3 of hymn 38. 1 through 3 of hymn 38. The Lord, my God, be praised, my light, my life from heaven, my Maker who to me hath soul and body given, my Father who doth shield and keep me day by day, doth make each moment yield new blessings on my way. The Lord, my God, be praised, my trust, my life from heaven, the Father's own dear Son, whose life for me was given, who for my sin atoned with his most precious blood, who giveth me by faith the highest heavenly good. The Lord, my God, be praised, my hope, my life from heaven, the Spirit whom the Son in love to me hath given. 'Tis he revives my heart, 'tis he that gives me power, help, comfort, and support in sorrow's gloomy hour. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your heart and mind centered in our glorious Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.